Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Messer, 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Chain Congregation, 9th Hour to 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is September the 23rd, 2024, or the 21st day of Tishri, 2028. We will continue on our series, The Man on the White Horse by the Ben Roden. We're on about part four, I think. And it's entitled The Kingdom Illustrated. Okay, now this is Isaiah 11, and that's the name of our sermon, The Kingdom Illustrated. We're on page 33 of our tract, The Man on the White Horse. It says that the kingdom illustrated the salvations of the Jews. Jews and Gentiles are grafted in. Okay. Well, it says the promise of the kingdom unto the Jews only. But the promise of the kingdom is for the Jews only. But the privilege to be grafted in is unto all, both the Jew and the Gentiles alike. Okay, it says in this family tree was illustrated. That we're looking at, it's got Jesse, the stem, meaning that it's the trunk. And this is an illustration pointed out in Isaiah 11, talked about. And it says, in this illustration, there are three persons brought to you. Jesse, the father of David, Gerard, David, and the branch Yashur. The relationship shows that David, the rod, is not Yashur, the branch. For the rod sprang from the stem of Jesse, and the branch from the rod. Tract number 8, page 45 and 46, talks about this. Plainly, therefore, the rod coming from the stem of Jesse is symbolical of the David, and the branch coming from the rod is symbolical of the son of David, Yeshua. Upon this ensign, now pay attention. The branch and the rod. So the spirit of the Yahweh shall rest as the spirit of the wisdom and understanding, the spirit of the counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge, and of the fear of the Yahweh, and shall make him of the quick understanding and the fear of the Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with the equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. So though the ensign, and the ensign is Yahshua and David that have joined together, Yahshua sitting upon the throne of David and his temple, and David's temple, here on earth in the 12th parabolic hour, emblematizes the connections of the three persons, Jesse the root, David the rod, and Yahshua the branch. Okay. Yet the power and wisdom of the Yahshua is its underlying and controlling force. Wherefore says the Yahshua, I am the root and the offspring of the David, and the bright and morning star. Revelation 22:16. Bearing out that he is all, since therefore from the stem of Jesse came the rod, David, and from the rod sprang the branch, Yahshua. David as the visible king, and Yahshua as the invisible king of kings, shall end that day, what day? In the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now, the last day. In our time, Ben Roden was writing this stuff in the 10th parabolic hour, and so he's telling the world and he's telling the church in that day and in our time, he's telling the Adventists it's going to come in our time, constitute the innocent. Okay. And unto it shall the Gentiles seek, and is this for his resting place, the location where the rod or ensign stands, the kingdom shall be glorious. Yea, I will make the place of my feet glorious. Isaiah 60 verse 13. It says Yahshua, and that's in Mount Zion, 11th hour, track number 8, page 46 and 47. Brackets and parentheses belong unto the quotation. For this prophesied era of the absolute righteousness, peace, and knowledge of the Yahweh in the kingdom, under the reign of the rod David and of the branch Yahshua, must begin before the close of the probation. For the scriptures show that the kingdom is set before rather than at the beginning of the millennium. For in that day, in the day that the kingdom is set up and peace reigns, a root of the Jesse, the rod, and the branch shall stand for an ensign of the people of the kingdom, says Isaiah. And unto it shall the Gentiles seek, Isaiah 11:10. And as after the close of the probation the doors of the kingdom will be shut unto all, the ensign must therefore be set up before probation closes. That means Yahshua has come back the second time, and he's come to sit upon the throne of his earthly father David. And this is David's throne that is set up in the 12th hour. And there is a location for this throne to have a permanent place to sit up here on earth. And where my wife and I are living at this time is not that place where this is going to be set up. For the only time that the Gentiles will have a chance to be converted in to the Yahweh and Yahshua, and unto his kingdom, this kingdom, or his kingdom, a conclusion common for the following scriptures, or to a conclusion common with the following scriptures. Also, O Judah. Now, who is Judah? Judah is the lawgiver. Genesis 49:10. A scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, the members of the tribe of Judah are called Judeans, the Judaites. That's why they got this slang name. They call them Jews, J-E-W-S, because they're Judaites. They're of the one tribe. And that's the tribe that Yahshua was born into when he was here on earth. Old Judah. Also, old Judah, he has sit and harvest for thee. Alright, so the 144,000 is this harvest for Judah, the house of David. And this house of David was separated from the Adventist church in 1890, when the General Conference caused the majority of the Seventh-day Adventists at the Minneapolis Conference that they held from 1888 to 1890. And the General Conference leaders finally caused all of the laity and the ministers to reject that message of righteousness by faith of Jonathan Wagner. So that's when Judah, the house of David, was separated from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But actually, it was never joined up to it. The Adventists represented the 10 tribes up to 1890. But Judah was one of the 12 tribes. So Judah went on a spiritual fast, Ezekiel 4, from 1890 to 1930. And that's the house of David. That's where Yahshua comes to in the 12th hour, these last days. And he forms an ensign with his underservant, David, and a typical David. So it says, when I return the captivity of my people, Hosea 6:11, tract 945-46, brackets and parentheses belong to the quotation. It says, as the ancient David is in his grave, the king here promised must be an antitypical David. So when these two Davids show up in the last day, they're going to meet each other. Just like it says there in the Bible there, that Adam and Eve, Adam, the first Adam, and Yahshua, when he came to this earth, he was called the second Adam. Well, the second Adam, Yahshua, has his fulfillment as a man on a white horse here in the 12th periodic hour when he comes. And that's in Revelation 19:10. So it says the king here promised must be an antitypical David, just as the Elijah Malachi 4:5 must be an antitypical Elijah. Well, the inspiration tells us that this antitypical David in his last days and this antitypical Elijah are one and the same person. So it says, the king here promised must be an antitypical David, just as the Elijah of Malachi 4:5 must be an antitypical Elijah. Otherwise, in order to fulfill the prophecies, ancient David must necessarily rise from his grave, and ancient Elijah descend from the heaven. Tract 9, 43, paragraph 2. As Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, or Yahshua, this is Yahshua, the son of Yahweh talking, has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself, because Yahshua is deemed as the great shepherd. Testimony Volume 5, page 80. Testimonies to Ministry, page 300, Jeremiah 3:17. And as the descendants of Jacob again becoming a kingdom, appoint unto themselves one of a head, Hosea 1:11. David as their king, Hosea 3:5. And seek Yahshua, their Yahshua, their Redeemer, their Savior. It is evident that a purified church of the house of David in the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message will be a theocracy. Now, this is church and state. We're going to, in other words, be our own independent nation. And it's going to be the number one powerful nation on the earth that's ruling over all the other nations. For the scepter shall not depart from the Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet, until the Shiloh come. And Shiloh is another name for Yahshua. When he comes as the King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns, sit upon the throne of David, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be in that throne of David, as in Genesis 49:10. Behold, a king shall reign in the righteousness, and princes shall rule in the judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as a river of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land, Isaiah 32:1-2. Track Mount Zion, number 8, Mount Zion at the 11th hour, page 43. Okay, it says, we are reminded that it is not by the one's scholarly background that a correct understanding of the Bible can be obtained, really only by the inspiration of heaven's method of the interpreting of the scripture. Surely the Yahweh will do nothing but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. Amos 3:7. While the Yahshua ministers in the sanctuary above, he is still by his spirit the minister of the church on the earth. As our Rages 1:66 by the Ellen G. White. Only through a close connection with the spirit of the Yahshua are we able to understand the Bible prophecy after it has been interpreted by the gift of the inspiration. For the lack of a Bible connection with the Yahshua spirit is the reason that the majority of the earth's inhabitants have, as a rule, rejected Yahshua's messengers who were endowed with the inspiration, and regardless how indubitable their message, as Yahshua sat looking upon the party that waited for the bridegroom, he told his disciples the story of the 10 virgins by their experience, illustrating the experience of a church that shall live just before his second coming. COL, that's Christ Object Lesson, 4:06 by the Ellen G. White, that's her statement. Then take silver and gold and make the crown and sit them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Joseph, the high priest, and speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Yahshua of the host, saying, Behold, a man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build a temple of the Yahshua. And he shall build a temple of the Yahshua, the Son. Now here Yahshua, he's the branch, and he's come back in the person, and he's going to grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple, but it says of the Father, Yahweh, okay. So he's going to build this temple of David, which is also orchestrated by the Father through the Son, his Son, telling his Son that you get with David, and you supervise the building of this temple. This is going to be a liberal temple. Even he shall build the temple of the Yahweh, and he shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne. All right, let's do that again. This is talking about Yahshua. He's done all the talking here. Thus speaketh the Yahshua of the host. This is the Son, Yahweh. Yahweh's Son. Saying, Behold, a man whose name is the branch, and that man is Yahshua. And he's called a man. At the same time, he is called a branch that grows up under David, Jeremiah 23:5. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build a temple of the Yahweh, his Father. Even he shall build a temple of the Yahweh, and he shall bear the glory of that temple, and shall sit and rule upon his throne in that temple of the Father Yahweh. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. It says there in Luke 1:32, it says, The Father in heaven hath given unto his Son the earthly throne of his father David here on this earth. So that's what it's called, Yahshua's throne. And the council of the peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be unto Helam, and unto Tobiah, and to Jedidiah, and unto him, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Yahweh, the Father. Zechariah 6:11-14. For the Zephaniah shows how closely Joshua, the son of Josedek, is related to the branch Yahshua in Zechariah 3. For the Joshua is Yahshua's Messiah in Hebrew. Yahshua, number one, is a name that the Greeks form of the Joshua. Webster's New 20th Century Dictionary, page 93, Paul Meta indicates this also. See Hebrews 4:8. Margin, for the Yahshua was a Jew by the birth, being a Jew also. Joshua is his brother, since Ruth, as a Gentile, was the mother of the Obed, the father of Jesse, Ruth 4:17, Luke 3:32, the father of the David, the father of the Yeshua, not only Isaac, but the Gentiles also are related unto Yeshua by the birth. Consequently, through the Yeshua, all living saints who receive the seal of the Yeshua, a new name, become the adopted sons and daughters of the Yeshua, the branches, saviors. Obadiah 21. There's only one chapter in Obadiah, so that's the 21st verse of Obadiah. For the crowns, plural, sit on the head of the Joshua, or pass unto his helpers, whom whom the Son Yeshua named. These are those who labor with him in the building of the temple. In other words, Joshua, the son of Joseph, Zechariah 3, has a gift of the interpretation through the inspiration. This is his crown as priest and ruler of the temple. Okay, 5T, 4:69-3. 1 TG 8:26. For his own crown, he cannot pass on unto others. This gift comes directly from the Yahweh and is not to be passed on at will. For the crown Joshua gives unto his helpers in the building of the spiritual house is the knowledge of the mercy that Yahweh gives to him, so they may teach it, and that the Yeshua gives unto him, so they may teach it unto others. In this manner, the spiritual temple, 144,000, is built upon the foundation that the Yeshua himself had laid, for the apostles built the church of the Yeshua in the scriptures. The figure of the erection of a temple is frequently used to illustrate the building of the church. Zechariah refers to the Yeshua as the branch that should build a temple of the Yahweh, for he speaks of the Gentiles as helping in their work. Acts 5:95. For the work of the Yahshua as a man's intercession is presented in that beautiful prophecy of the Zechariah concerning him whose name is the branch, says the prophet, he shall build the temple of the Yeshua. Great controversy. 4:15 and 4:16. Actually, he shall build the temple of the Yahweh, the Father. Great controversy. 4:15 and 16. For the despised remnant are clothed in the glorious apparel, nevermore to be defiled by the corruptions of the world, for their names are retained in the Lamb's Book of Life, and enrolled among the people of all ages. And the remnant are not only pardoned and accepted, but honored. A fair matter is set upon their heads. They are to be as kings and priests unto the Yahweh. These are they that stand upon Mount Zion with the Lamb, having the Father's name written in their forehead. Therefore they sang the new song before the song, that song which no man can learn, save the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. Now is reached the complete fulfillment of those words of the angel, turn now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. 5:2, 4:75, and 6. For his church is to be a temple built after the divine similitude and the angelic architect. Okay. So that new church is going to be built on these last days after the divine similitude. Has brought his golden measuring rod from heaven, that every stone may be hewed and squared by the divine measurement, and polished to shine as an emblem of the heaven, radiating in all the directions the bright, clear beams of the Sun of Righteousness. The church is to be fed with the manna from heaven and to be kept under or with the sole guardianship of his grace, clad in the complete armor of the light and righteousness as she enters upon her final conflict. Testimonies of Ministers 17. For the Joshua is the ruler of the temple. Those who sit, this is Joshua, the son of Joseph, this is Zechariah 3. This is not Joshua, the son of Nun, that succeeded Moses. Now those who sit before the Joshua are men wondered at. As such, they are depicted in Zechariah 3:9. By the stone, church, or kingdom that is in the Joshua site, that has seven eyes, perfect vision. 1 Tz 8:25. So Joshua actually, with his own eyesight, he sees this temple and vision. For the enemy of the soul caused a deep sleep to come upon the letter of sin angel, and that would be verse of the Jonathan in Term of Texas 2002 and 3. Judge, so he will not study and understand the message from heaven by putting into his mind that we are not to look for the Yahweh to reveal himself, or look for the Yahshua to reveal himself through the prophetic voice in these last days, for times have changed. These words strengthen their unbelief, and they say the Yahshua will not do good, neither will it do evil. 5:2, 2:11. On the other hand, he excites, if possible, those who do study and learn the message, and leads them to think that if no, if so-and-so has the gift of the Spirit to interpret, so do they, hence, in either case, confusion is brought in to keep the church from seeing eye to eye, so that they may lose out in the sitting time of the investigative judgment of the living. And the church and thus fail to stand with the Lamb on the Mount Zion. Nevertheless, the Yahshua overthrows the wiles of the enemy by the burying. Let's say it again. Nevertheless, the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, overthrows the wiles of the enemy by the building of the temple through this chosen vessel, Joshua, the son of Joseph, Zechariah 3, his high priest, he gave him the title of the priest, his under leader. And this translates later on to be actually the master prophet shows that this antithetical Joshua, the son of Nun, is none other but the antithetical Elijah David. under a leader and those who are willing to teach truth rather than prophesy falsely, as depicted by the branch, those who stand before the Joshua are willing to teach what the living spirit of prophecy has revealed, rather than prophesying their own devising sin. Let me tell you how to teach your message. Testimony, Message 475. Consider the fact that Isaiah 11:1 was proclaimed some 300 years after David, typical David, had become king of Israel, and yet Isaiah places the entire prophecy in the future from his time. There shall come forth a rod. Therefore Isaiah must have been referring unto these three persons, and the Antitype pointing to Yahshua, true prophet of today. Let's do it again. Isaiah must have been referring to these three persons in the Antitype, pointing out Yahweh's two people of today, since as has already been pointed out, Yahshua, Emmanuel, did not live in the time of such a confederacy of the Isaiah chapter 12 to 14. It must be that not only Israel, Syria, and Assyria are types, but Joshua himself is also a type. For we learn that Emmanuel, meaning Yahweh the Father with us, could represent only his two followers, a born again Christian. Symbolic code number 1, 5, and 6, parentheses belong to the quotation. Since the Yahshua is a type, we are to conclude that the work done in his name, the branch, is the antitype in the time of the confederacy of the antitypical nations, Israel, Syria, and Assyria, as shown to Israel in the vision. For the Yahshua brought a reform among the Jews, that's the house of the tribe of Judah, the house of David, and in his day, and we are bringing a revival and reformation. Our Vitalis, or Ben Roden, says in his days, we are bringing a revival reformation, but Ben Roden never did bring no revival reformation. Nobody has, even up to now. Read the COR 126, 1926, in Israel. The church today, in his new name, the branch. Branch is found in Isaiah 11:1, Jeremiah 23:5 and 6, Jeremiah 33:15 and 16, Zechariah 3:8 and 6:12, John 15:1-5, is the new name of the Yahshua that sealed, Revelation 7:1-8, or Mark, Ezekiel 9:3-4, the 144,000 branches. So, okay, it says the 144,000 branches, remnant of the 12 tribes of Israel, who stand with the Lamb, the branch, on the Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1, they speak a pure language. These are they which follow the Lamb, the branch, whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Yahweh and to the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of the Yahweh, Revelation 14:4-5. For the 144,000 are without guile, false doctrine in their mouths. they are not defiled by the babblings of tradition. They speak only Bible truth, and since they are the first fruit, it must be that they are the Yahweh's ministry in the time of the loud cry, who bring into the Yahweh's house a great multitude which no man should number of all nations. Revelation 7:9. Set of priests or groups. Revelation 14:18. Therefore, brethren, no longer follow tradition and vain imagination, but rather teach the truth as it is in the Yahshua, the branch. The bride, the lambs of branch wife, is evidently the church whose righteousness the Gentiles see, and all nations her glory. The church that goes by her husband's new name, the branch, which the mouthpiece of the Yahweh name. Some say that if you claim to be a branch, you are anti-Messiah. To such and one we say, did you ever hear of a young lady going by her own name after she was legally married to her husband? Were those who were called Christians first at Antioch, Acts 11:26, anti-Yahshua, or were they the true followers of our Savior? Yahshua says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. John 15:5. Friends, do you not want to be a branch of the true vine, Yahshua, the branch? The fruit grows on the branches of a tree. Yahshua says, every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit, John 15:2. If as branches we bring forth the fruits of the righteousness in this harvest judgment time, for the living in the church, 8:2-247, Yahshua will purge us, and we will bring forth more fruit. The great multitude in the time of the great harvest or the loud cry. When the branch church, she is called the Yahweh our righteousness, or the Yahshua our righteousness. Read that, Jeremiah 33:15-16. At that time, antipathetical David will reign. Okay. Take the names into the consideration, so as to understand who are of the 12,000 to be sealed of the Judah in the house of the David, 1 TG 8:26. Keep in mind that EN, the two letters, as a prefix means N or N2. Webster, but EN as a suffix means out of. Therefore, since in the prophecy of Isaiah 11:1, the prophet saw the rod David coming from the stem of Jesse, and the branch coming out of his roots, it not only points back to King David's reign, but forward unto the fulfillment of this tradition in the Antichrist. Jesse, S.P.A., and Davidian, S.P.A. Antichrist Jesse is the S.P.A., and the rod, Davidian, S.P.A., and branch Davidian, S.P.A., from their roots in those three movements is found the true remnant, Revelation 12:17, of the Israel that will be sealed with the seal of the Yahweh, the Sabbath by the SDA, New Jerusalem message of the kingdom by the DSDA, and Yahshua's new name branch by the branch DSDA. See Revelation 2:17, 3:12, Early Writings 15, LS 61, I 1T, Testimonies 59, 1 Shepherd God 32. Furthermore, if considered that the rod refers to David and the EN means out of, we will see that the two, rod and EN, Roden, refers to a ruler out of David. Or, in other words, from the house or lineage of David. Still further, his name Roden discloses that in the Antitype he is of the house of David, the ruler, or Roden, according unto the Hebrew definition. Prophetically speaking, as it was declared, the name of Cyrus, king of Persia, was found in the Bible, Isaiah 45:1-8. So it is with him who is to deliver Yahweh's people now. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name, and I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Surely shall one say in the Yahweh, have thy righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. Isaiah 45:4-24. Let students put to the stretch their mental faculties that they may comprehend the 45th chapter of Isaiah, Counsel to Teachers 4:55. 3. For Ezekiel declares this truth for our day. Thy mother is like a vine in thy blood, planted by the water. She was fruitful and full of the branches by the raising of many waters. Ezekiel 19:10. For Yahshua is the true vine. We are the branches. John 15:1-5. So it became a vine and brought forth branches and shot forth sprigs. The false, Ezekiel 17:6. The vine, the mother, church is truly in our blood. Not only Judah and the house of David, but also SDA and DSDA, we are truly branches from this lineage. And she has strong rods for the scepters of them that bear rule. And her stature was exalted among the six branches, and she appeared in her height with a multitude of her branches. For she was puffed up in the fury, she was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried up her fruit. Her strong rods were broken and withered, the fire consumed them, and now she is planted in the wilderness, in a dry and thirsty ground. Ezekiel 19:11-13. When the spirit of prophecy ceased at the death of E.G. White and the former and latter reign, Joel 2:23 ceased with the death of E.T. Hollis, the churches of the SDA and the DSDA became dry, as a vine planted in the wilderness, without inspiration, the living spirit of prophecy. And fire is gone out of the rod of her branches, which hath devoured her fruit, so that she hath no strong rod to be a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation and shall be for a lamentation. Ezekiel 19:14. Fire is a consuming agent, and especially so where there is no water. The fire of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:2, consumes the tares, but prepares the wheat for the barn, the kingdom. And Matthew 13:30, for the Yahweh showed his approval of the Elijah's work when he accepted the offering of his sacrifice on the Mount Carmel by the consuming it with the fire from heaven. So it is in the days of the antipical Elijah, Malachi 4:4-6. History repeats itself, we are told, and so it is with the religious history. Satan's snares are laid for us as early as they were laid for the children of Israel, just prior unto their entrance into the land of Canaan. We are repeating the history of that people. 5T 160 and paragraph 2. Wherefore, thus saith Yahshua of the host, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. Jeremiah 5:14. What devoured her fruit? Fire from a rod out of her branches. She had strong rods, princes of the house of David, for a scepter of them that bear rule, for a scepter of them applies in a sense to Judah when she was a strong nation in her royal dignity. Contrasted with her sunken state under the pronouncement, she hath no strong rod, a ruler to rule. However, since this prophecy is a symbolic parable by the Ezekiel, we must understand that it applies to modern Judah, the Davidian SDA, and the Antichrist. Because of the failure in 1959 of Sister Paulus Foster's prediction of the 42 months, her movement was plucked up and cast down to the ground, as is foretold in Ezekiel 19:12. Her strong rods, Davidian leaders, were broken and withered. And now she, the Davidian movement, under the leadership of Mrs. Hollis, now Mrs. Aiken, assigned to parentheses A-C-H-A-N. Her name was actually E-A-K-I-N. She married a man named Aiken. And her council is planted in the wilderness, land of the Gentiles, away from the vineyard of the promised land. See 2 TG 16:18, 18:16-3, and a dry and thirsty ground. Ezekiel 19:13. Without water, a plant cannot continue to grow. So it was with the Davidian movement after the death of Brother B.T. Hollis. The latter rain, Joel 2:23, message of the shepherd rod ceased, and without inspiration the movement came to naught in a few years, as predicted by the branch in 1955. In other words, fire is a spirit-filled message is gone out of a rod, a Davidian ruler. Hebrew word for ruler is roden, of her branches, which hath devoured her fruit. Ezekiel 19:14. For the Davidian message, Richie Hollis predicted this when he wrote, who is to bring this revival reformation, this great change, the branch? And according to Isaiah 11:1-5, the branch is the Yahshua, the son of David. 1 TG 8:24. Obviously then, as a result of this revival and reformation within the latter sin church, Another church in Virgin Prince Joshua is in charge. Not the angel of Laodicea. 1 TG 8:24. So this Joshua is antithetical Elijah David, and this angel of the Laodicea was Brother Frederick Johnson, my my pastor at Gilead Center in Plymouth, Texas, from 1970 to 2002. He was the angel of Laodicea, fulfilling his prophecy at 1 TG 8:24. What can all this mean? It just says Joshua is heaven's appointed judge, ruler. Good, he himself is crowned as such. And in response to the Yahweh's own command, Joshua crowned, authorizes his helpers whom the Yahweh himself named. In other words, as members of the house of David, Joshua authorizes them to engage in their work. So Joshua is responsible unto the Yahweh, unto the Yahshua, the branch, but his helpers are responsible to Joshua, the son of Joseph. Here is seen an organization having a leader and an under-leader, the Yahshua and Joshua, which is nothing but the antithetical David. Thus, it is that whatever is to be bound on earth is also to be bound in heaven. Matthew 16:19, 1 TG 8:26. Okay, this brings the end of our track, Man on the Wild Horse. This is the end of our study at this time. Now this is part five that I said part four, but this is part five. November the 22nd was the last time that I preached this sermon. Let's close now with a song.